Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Global Adventure Show with travel writer Debbie Stone. Hey, everybody. Today we are going to Gettysburg with Debbie Stone. Debbie Stone, we do call her the Fire Monkey. I always have to bring that up. She got that name from a monk in Bhutan, so that has stuck with her for years, literally years, right, Debbie? Years. I
Years,
can't even.
yes.
How long has it been since you were in Bhutan? I mean,
Many years, many years.
yeah, I can't even think back that long. But you know, I actually kind of think that's interesting. Going back to Bhutan, here's the, you know, this land of temples, right? And now
Correct.
we're going to go to Gettysburg, and it's a place Nance and I went to during COVID. We've covered Gettysburg for years with artists in residence through the National Parks Arts Foundation, and also covered many just things like stories through the National Parks Conservation Association as well. So Gettysburg was been on our radar for years, and then finally we got there during COVID, and it was a little bit more closed down compared to what you experienced. And I think some things were open, but we were just like at that point, like it was like a zoo, and we weren't that comfortable because it was still like high COVID time, you know. So I'm really excited to talk with you about this today, because not only do you have a story about Gettysburg National, you know, it's a battlefield and national military park, but you also talk about the community, which I think is very, very important that people forget about. And you talk about food. So we're going to do food and military history, right? Civil War history.
I'm buying both.
I know. But I feel like Gettysburg is one of those places, like we got there. And this was a bucket list thing after all these interviews for years. So many artists had talked about being in the Klingel House and being haunted. People had blood on the walls in the middle of the night, just appeared, like all kinds of weird stories. Like, I mean, lots of stuff happened in Gettysburg. And we got there, and I just almost just really just needed to sit down. And reading your article, and everyone, it's on nationalparktraveling.com. Debbie's articles are linked in the show notes. You use the same word, overwhelm. And that's how we both felt, like this heavy, and I don't want to make people not go, but like it's intense, like going there. That's an intense experience.
It is. I tell people that talk to me about Gettysburg that have never been, and I say, yes, for first timers, it is overwhelming. And what I say is that if you can, spend a little bit of time there so that you're not trying to race through in 24 hours and see everything you can, because it will get to you. It will impact you. And this is the kind of place where I think you need time to digest the sights, some of the heaviness of what happened here. And I just think if people have a couple of days to spend, I think they will find it to be a much more rewarding experience for them. And they will be able to take breaks from a lot of the historical sites. And as I mentioned in my other story about food, they'll be able to enjoy the town. You know, they'll be able to peruse the town and eat and get some sustenance before they head back out again.
Hey, I heard it's haunted there too. I'm just saying. I just heard
Good.
Through the grapevine. But you know, but going to Gettysburg, we stayed in Tawnytown at just a wonderful bed and breakfast. George's on York, and now he really knew the innkeeper, because he really knows Gettysburg. And he's like, "You got to do this hike and do that hike." But then we got stuck at the farm at Eisenhower's farm on the way in. I know you didn't spend a lot of time there, but you stopped by. But he had an affinity for this place. And I wonder about Eisenhower having his farm there and seeing Gettysburg, if that kind of kept him on his toes during World War II, of understanding, having that overwhelmed feeling of understanding the severity of war, you know?
That's a good question. I know that it was a retreat for him when he was a president for him and his wife. But it was also, he used it as a kind of a more of a casual meeting place for world leaders. So it really was a way to kind of calm those Cold War tensions at the time. And so he would host these world leaders, notable world leaders, and they would come there, and they would have these like off the record, just informal chats. And he would take them around, and they would talk about family, and they would talk about, farming. They would talk, and so it really was a place for him to not only have for himself and his wife, but also to invite people of major importance in the world, but to have it as a different setting, as a backdrop for them, and where maybe, versus being in DC, And so I think that, and then he ended up retiring there as well. It was it was a very special place to him.
You know what I find interesting about that and Gettysburg is like he brought it, he was like, let's get away from White House and all the, the Pentagon and all that kind of stuff. Let's just go to a farm and talk and be
Right.
humans and have unity. Like, so I'm going to use that word because even in Gettysburg, when you see all the monuments for all the states, for the different Native American tribes that all fought in the war, right? There's a sense of unity as well, even though it's a harsh war and civil war, but people all fought. And so you can't have war without unity on some sides, right? You know what I mean? It's like a really weird, like heroes and villains, war and peace. And I feel like he there was this beautiful solitude there because it is, it's pastoral, it's picturesque. It is beautiful, it is peaceful, it is quiet. I think Gettysburg is just, I mean, I want to live there. We actually interviewed a musician from there, and the Mason-Dixon line went through her backyard. And she just, it was pretty crazy to be, part of that history growing up. But I think that's interesting about there's the overwhelm of going there and realizing this deep, deep history, but there is also a sense of unity. Does that make sense to you, or is it just me off of my own little weird land of
I
hope?
think people come together, they realize when they come to a place like that that it is such a treasured place in history, where something very monumental happened. And I think, people from all over the place will come there because they want to see this hallowed ground. And they want to learn more about it, even though, as students in the United States, we do learn about, of course, the Gettysburg Battle, and we learn about the Gettysburg Address. But when you bring people to a place where so much history happened and where this was such a defining moment in the Civil War,
And
it
bloody.
really is. It's
Oof.
very yeah, and it was the largest, bloodiest battle ever fought on our country's soil. And so there is a sense of, just of realizing this happened here. And yes, the place is beautiful in terms of its bucolic and its rolling hills. And you look at this place and you think all this beauty, and you think this really bloody battle happened on these beautifully peaceful grounds, for 3 hot summer days in July in 1863. And it just
I know, right?
and for me, just driving, if you drive around the battlefield, you see the monuments. The best thing for me, if I have advice for people, is to take a tour of the military park. And you can take it via many different ways. You can walk it, you can go by the tour bus, you can go by your car with a self-guided tour, you can take your bike, your Segway, you can do horseback. I did the horse-drawn carriage. I kind of liked the
Oh,
idea
wow.
of making it more, making the ambience a little bit more historical. And also, I loved the
Slow.
idea of witnessing this at the quote-unquote speed of history. And, you have these guides that are all licensed guides. They are extremely knowledgeable. They bring out the maps. They talk to you about the battle plans. They talk to you about the action. They talk to you about the people and the individuals. And they provide you with so many interesting tidbits that you would never, ever learn unless you had somebody telling you about this. And you stop and you walk on some of the places where these brave men they sacrificed in the name of freedom. And to me it was, I don't know, to me it was well worth it to get a guide. However you do it, I think it's important because the knowledge is incredibly impactful, I think.
Yeah, I really wish that we had that experience too, because like we drove up, literally found the Klingel House, which is where the artists were in residence at that time. And then all of a sudden people are on horseback and we're like, what? What? Like it almost was like living history happening right now. And
Right.
then we just started exploring, and we wanted to do the cyclorama because we've done a story on that. Well, we didn't write it, but artist Victoria Chick did, and we did a podcast on it, and we're like, wow, that was a huge deal. And you got to go there, and also go into like really like the visitor center museum, right? So would
Yes,
you say
it's
like start there? We didn't get to do
yes.
any of that because again, this was like, I think we were there the first weekend that COVID was like in that
Opened up.
area opened. Yeah. So and it was crazy, but I heard people on their phones to their grandparents going, is this the name? Is this, great great grandfather and stuff? And I was like, holy cow, like teary, because you realize like people are there tracing their family history in this war.
I would say start at the Museum and Visitor Center and go through the process of doing the film. There's a film narrated by Morgan Freeman, which kind of sets the stage. And then there's, as you mentioned, the Gettysburg Cyclorama, which is truly an amazing experience. It's a light and sound show, and it's, you get to experience this whole Pickett's Charge and the battle, and it's unbelievable, and it's so massive and so immersive. It's amazing, and to me, I was taken aback by it. I really wanted to spend a lot of time in there. You can find little characters. They take certain sections and they highlight them, and it was a masterpiece for me. And then from there, you can go right on into the Museum of the American Civil War, where you're gonna have wonderful artifacts. You're gonna have lots of stories, lots of items on display. And you could spend hours and hours in there, and some people do, and other people kind of do it on a periphery situation. It depends on how much time, but I felt like I needed to spend a lot of time there because it was amazing. The artifacts were quite amazing. And then you can head into the park, as I mentioned, and do take some sort of tour if you can. And then after that, you should go into the National Cemetery because this is the final resting place for all of those 3,500 Union soldiers that were killed in the battle. And it's very sobering, especially the ones that are the unknown soldiers. There's markers for the unknown soldiers. And you can see where Lincoln delivered the Gettysburg Address. You can stand on that actual spot. And that whole process of going through the visitor center and all the different things, and then going to the military park and then going into the cemetery, it's a process that takes you through, I think, in a very good kind of a seamless way to explore the area.
I was wondering about you because you went to Springfield, in Illinois, and you went through all of Lincoln's history, basically all the museums and everything, and you came back with things that kind of challenged what we all kind of like regular beliefs of what even the Civil War was about, right? And I was thinking about that today before we started recording. I was like, oh, remember when you went there and you're like, oh, we thought this, but this is what the Civil War is really about. And, there was more to it than what we all kind of got taught. And I just wonder, like, when we went there, I think, I don't know if we'd done Springfield before or after, but I remember like the Lincoln going to the Gettysburg Address and being there and just like, wow, like this is Lincoln stood here. And everywhere I'd been in Illinois or in like there's like a whole Lincoln Trail, that you can follow through the
Kentucky,
state.
right,
Yeah,
exactly.
all through it, all of it. There's the highway, but there's like there's certain cities we've been to and towns, that are part of some historic thing for Lincoln. And he was here, he delivered this speech, or we know, and like little towns. And I have to put it all together, but it was just really wild to be in this famous place. And, you know, growing up in South Africa as a teenager, you knew about there was a civil war and Gettysburg happened. And I think it was in the 80s when the movie Gettysburg came out. And I was like, oh, that's what went down, right? So that was pretty much probably the best knowledge I had. And then going there, it was just like, whoa, like I said, overwhelming and real. And then, of course, like you were saying, all the unknown graves. Lisa Salmia is a poet that's been on our show, and she's done books talking about the unknown soldiers and the women behind the unknown soldiers and giving voice to the voiceless. That's what she's about. And it's like when you hear these people's stories, it's like, whoa, you know?
And to me, the other side of this whole story is the townspeople and what they were going through, and what they paid a very steep price. They were in the middle. They were caught in the middle of this, and thankfully, only one person perished as a result. One local person perished. That was a non, you know, a resident, a local non-military individual who perished. But their lives were upended because they were left tending to the thousands of soldiers that were left behind, who were sick and ill and dying. And the townspeople, some of their houses and so many of the buildings were turned into hospitals, and they had to help deal with the wounded, the aftermath. And they had to step up there, and nobody else was going to. These soldiers were left behind. And so to learn about I think the locals, to me, was the most, I don't know, eye-opening, because people forget about that. They just think about the military, the soldiers, and what price they paid. But the townspeople were really caught in the middle here. And so I suggest and recommend that people, in addition to doing the military history, that they visit some of these house museums in town, because they talk about the people, and like
I
the
like
Shriver
that.
House Museum or the Jenny Wade House Museum. And you go in and you get these wonderful tours by these docents, and they tell you about the people and what happened in the house and what happened to these people and how this impacted their lives. And so I urge people to seek out some of these house museums. There's several of them,
And there's
and
one that's a
it's
saloon, right? The Shriver Saloon.
yeah,
Which
the
I have
Shriver,
to
well, the
say,
Shriver,
hey,
it's
listen, the
an
Shrivers are part of our family name. I'm just saying, I'm gonna now have to do. No, I didn't know this until you put it in your article. I'm like, I'm gonna go have
Really?
to look up our, yeah, our, we have a whole
Oh,
side of our family
interesting.
is the Shrivers. And how do we know that we're not related? Hey, and they
That's
have a saloon. That sounds good.
they were, you know, they had a saloon, and what was interesting is, the husband was called into service when the battle began, and his wife left and took the two young daughters, and they went to the family farm, and they returned several days later, and they found that their house had been changed and turned into a commander to be into a hospital. And so you'll also, what I found fascinating in this is not only the saloon in the basement, but upstairs there was a Confederate sniper nest in the attic, where Confederate soldiers were hiding out, but they were snipers, and so they were shooting through the attic walls. And so there's been detectives, CSI. They've come with more modern forensics. They've confirmed the blood stains. They've seen the Civil War bullets that have been found there. There's hidden medical supplies, which shows the proof of the house used as a hospital. So it's fascinating for people. I mean, people were on they were on edge listening to the docent talk about the story and what happened there. It was fascinating. I think people are really they really crave that human element, you know?
Well, you've got to go there. You know, you can't read about Gettysburg. I mean, obviously, read in the article, but the whole point of the article in this podcast is to get your butts there to understand it, right? And if not, at least and absorb even absorb some more than high school. And I think these stories are so like Monica C. I think I'm saying it right. After all these years of going there, is not far from Gettysburg. So, like the Civil War, like I need to do a map of the Civil War sites somehow on our site and put it together, because we went to Monocacy. It was like we were on, a road trip again, and I was like, oh, let's go here. And then I found out, well, there's like a bunch of sites throughout this community, right? Kind of like Gettysburg in a way that way, And
Right.
when the Civil War happened, and this is what exactly what happened in Gettysburg, you're talking about the people, and I talk about this on the show all the time. So for all those who have heard me say this, I'm very sorry, but it still freaks me out. Here are farmers with their land and their kids doing their crops, doing their thing. It's not easy, already having a tough life. And then all of a sudden, here comes the Civil War. Sorry, we're taking over your farmland. By the way, get your women and kids into the basement because we're blowing each other up, And
Right.
here they are with, they drag in, here we go with, we're dragging in the ammunition. Here comes the big booms. And I've filmed reenactments, Civil War reenactments. And when they start doing those kabooms, like even the tripod goes like, screw this, I'm out, I'm down,
Yeah.
those kabooms are insane. And I'm going, the women and kids and the dads, I mean, they wake up the next morning. Well, I don't think anybody slept. How do you tell your kids, yeah, people were just, shooting each other and killing each other? How do you do that?
And the story of Jenny Wade, which she was the only
Yeah.
local that was
Huge.
killed during, and she went to help her sister who had had a baby, and the mother was there, and they were she was in the middle of making bread for the Union soldiers, and a bullet went through two doors and struck her as she was kneading the dough, and she died right away. And so, you hear the story, you see the bullet hole through the door, you
That's
go
too
up and
much.
it's you see the
Real.
shells that punctured the roof. You see it and it becomes very real to you. And to me, once again, as I always say, history comes alive when you go to the place where it happened. When you see with your own eyes, when you touch, you feel, you smell, you hear, whatever it is, but it makes such a difference for people when they actually go somewhere where something actually happened that maybe they've read about, they've heard about, they've seen a movie about, but there they are, and they're right there, real life. And to
And
me,
have
it
the
is
guides.
unbelievable.
Like you're saying, you have like a park ranger or a tour guide go to the museum, have some kind of interpretation.
Of course.
Because like Gettysburg, like if you were like Nancy and I, like we're like sitting there going, dude, like our emotionally it was like intense, but we also didn't get to have the full experience like you did. And I love that you did. And it just, if you can get into a ranger program, go with a guide, like Debbie goes on horse carriage, all of that. You have those guides, they know that history, and whatever you remember, you think you remember. I'm just going to say think you remember, because let's be honest, when you get there, don't we realize that what we think we remember is not really it? And then the guides will really tell you, and they are true storytellers. Not tour guide is a storyteller who knows how to make it come to life and get it through our brains in a cool way. And I wish these storytellers were our teachers, quite frankly.
Well,
When I was in high school.
they know how to inform in an entertaining manner in which to hook you into the story and into what happened, while making sure you understand the facts of the story. I went also to another place called the Daniel Lady Farm, which was fascinating.
Cool.
This was another farm site where the farmer Daniel Lady and his wife and his seven children, they were all forced to evacuate because the
Wow.
Confederate forces came and they used it as a staging area for an attack. And then they also used the place as a Confederate field hospital during the battle. So the house and this barn survived, but you see the furniture in the home was chopped up. And then there's a whole exhibit, an area on Civil War medicine, which I found, of course,
Wow.
gruesome but fascinating. And
Oh, yeah.
they talk about all the methods that were used and the amputation procedure, and boiled horsehair is used for stitches because the silk is gone, and all this kind of stuff. And you find out these very minute details, but They are so, I don't know, they stay
It's
with you.
real. It
They stay
makes it
with you.
real. Yeah, so
Yes,
when
they
you
really
watch,
do.
if you see anything about the Civil War again, and you've seen how like a leg has been amputated, or really what happened, and you go to these sites, like we were recently at a Civil War site about in Oklahoma, Honey Springs, and all sides fought each other. Indians fought each other, blacks fought each other, whites fought each other, families included on both sides. I mean, fought and attacked each other, which is a gruesome thing. And I went out there and we went to the visitor bureau, and these visitor bureau, like the not visitor bureau, but the visitor centers and these museums are so state of the art these days. Like museums as a kid, like move over these museums now, and visitor centers, like they're
They're so
so interactive.
interactive.
Oh God, and you get it. I mean, us adults need it, man, not just the kids. We need to
Oh,
be woken
everybody
up a little
does
bit.
it.
Yeah. And it was amazing. And then, I went out in the battlefield at the time, like you're talking about, here's July. Like you go out at that time frame, holy cow. You think about those soldiers going in the July heat in Gettysburg, and then that time then, I'm like, are you kidding me? No. There were snakes. There, I mean, let's just get real here. It wasn't just what was going on in the battle, but like wildlife and things were scurrying. There was like you if you go into the places like you're talking about with the you finding out the how medicine worked at that time, you have this other idea how strong human beings can be, truly, to get through things. And in battle and I don't ever want to be in that predicament. Like to me, take me out, but then I suppose you still fight for your life at that point. I mean, if they're
Yeah,
gonna,
I don't think
I don't know,
sometimes you don't
man.
have the choice. Sometimes you don't have the choice. It's,
Oh
either
man.
you act or you don't act, But I think that
Well.
another site that I really like to tell people, especially people who are interested in haunted attractions or sites, is this wonderful bridge that's called Saxe Covered Bridge. And
Yeah.
a lot of paranormal investigators have been there, and it's kind of become a hot spot for these sightings. But does have a history there, because Confederate soldiers were trying to get out of the war by clothing themselves in Union attire and getting away from things. These were young men, and they wanted, many of them wanted to get out of this scene. And so they would do anything to try to get away. And so there was a trio, three of them, that, found some Union clothing, put themselves in it, and they joined a Northern troop. And they were marching near this bridge, and obviously something happened, but their identities came to light, and immediately they were made an example, and they were hung from the bridge. And people supposedly, now have reported sightings of, of disembodied heads, or they've had a scent of cigar smoke, which someone says is a soldier that continues to patrol the vicinity, or they've heard distant gunfire, So it really is one of those places. I went during the day. I did not go during the night, but because I wanted a good picture of that bridge. Plus, it sits in itself in a little area. Not around a lot of things. And so I said, I think in my story, beware if you go back at night,
Well, I want to go. I want to go. And I didn't even do that. I don't think we did the bridge. I know that when we were in Pennsylvania, I mean, no, we stayed in Maryland, but I mean, when we were in Pennsylvania, we did some covered bridges, and there was some, they all kind of have some interesting history. But I remember just, I don't know, Nancy and I just, we had that overwhelm. And I really wish we had the experience you had of going even of all these interviews we've done over the years, of going and getting that knowledge first before you start trekking out.
Yeah, I think
Truly.
it's You need some basis and background before you do, and I think it's really a good idea to get that, and that's why I say start there, get your background knowledge. The other museum that I do say is an interesting one, and it's brand new, and it is Beyond the Battle, Gettysburg Beyond the Battle Museum. But they have an exhibit or an experience called Caught in the Crossfire, which I found to be unbelievably visceral. You are in this reconstructed farmhouse, and it's just it's dark. It's dark because there are no lights, and there's a family, and this family is being overrun by invading forces, and they're trapped behind enemy lines. And you hear the noises, of the gunfire and the voices and the hysteria and the panic. And it just puts you right there in the center of action, and it really is. I found it to be just a very immersive but very visceral experience. And it also had a very f another fascinating exhibit, which is the visitor that you go into this room and you see all these people's faces, and you hear amid the simulated noises of a crowd of these people who have just heard Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. And they're reflecting on the speech, and they're reflecting, and they're offering their opinions, and they're talking about Abe, and some people are, very, very much a fan of him and of what he's saying, and other people are criticizing and criticism of him, and it was very interesting, and to me, it was really fascinating. So I thought,
That kind of goes
that
back to your
individual.
Springfield,
Yes. Yeah.
visit.
Yeah.
They kind of
Yeah.
did that same thing where you're like, I didn't
Absolutely.
realize that. Like, whoa,
Yep.
these opinions and
So it was
wow.
interesting.
Well,
Yeah, very, very interesting. So yeah,
wow.
there's so much to see. So I feel like take a couple days, take your
I feel like
time,
it should be a
don't
week.
rush it.
I kind of
Well,
feel like Gettysburg should be a week because there's so, or that region should be a week, like 5 days or so, 5 to 7 days.
You can do a lot in the region and the surrounding areas as well. And like I said earlier, you can enjoy yourself in the town. It doesn't always have to be about the history. You can enjoy shopping, you can enjoy eating, you can enjoy, staying in a wonderful
Oh,
inn
I want to
and
talk
soak
about
up
the
the
inn.
ambience.
We got to talk
Yeah.
about the inn. We're going to talk about food, okay? Because
Yes.
this is a whole other thing. Because this, it just, that's the thing. Like Gettysburg, absolute heavy history, right? I mean, it
Right.
really is. But you, like, here is this community that has been there before the battle happened, right?
Right.
So this is a
Right.
very important thing. And so I know you stayed at a bed and breakfast, and we want to hear about that. We love bed and breakfast and inn. And also we want to hear all about your foodie experiences because I think people need to see this other side. And I think the experience should be, don't just go to the battlefield, look at a monument and say you've done Gettysburg because you haven't. You know, we did a little bit of that. We still stayed and hung around. We stayed at bed and breakfast. It was in Taneytown, but you know, George's on York. Shout out to them. They're awesome. But honestly, I'm glad we at least did what we did because sometimes that's the way travel is. But I feel like we needed to spend, I actually feel like 5 days. I just feel like I just wanted to get out and walk and not drive. And
Yeah.
I just felt very much like I needed to be connected to the land there for some reason, like very
Well, it I
boots on the
think
ground.
if you notice, and one of the reasons, and we'll get to the food, but one of the reasons this is a bounty of food here is because the area is so agriculturally intense, and so you're getting, all this wonderful fresh and seasonal food from all these surrounding farmlands, and it to me that was a wonderful aspect of it that I was really unaware of, and I was not aware that they had this very dynamic food scene there. So that was a surprise to me, and of course a very pleasant one. And you do need to get your sustenance to keep yourself going, especially if you're doing a lot of walking and also trying to digest the information. And so it's really wonderful to be able to get good food and to have a choice of good food. And not only that, but to have choice of wonderful accommodations, because there are so many wonderful inns and so many wonderful, B&B. trees and, you know, historic properties, of course. And I wanted, of course, to stay in a historic property because I wanted to up that historic ambiance and, you know, be amid a home that was historic. And so the Brafferton Inn was my home base, and it is the oldest deeded house in the downtown area of Gettysburg, I think 1786. But what I loved about it too, not only because it was historic, but I love the fact that you could just walk outside and you were right there and you could walk to so many different things. So it was, you know, you park the car and just walk to a lot of places in town, to shops, to galleries, to restaurants, to house museums, a lot of different aspects. And the innkeepers, the Hodges were they've been running it for about 20 years, and they are terrific. And Brian, in particular, is he plays chef for the delicious breakfasts, which were, you know, several course breakfasts. And in, you know, it's one of those things where you just kind of, you're the atmosphere and the environment, it just kind of like, it just seeps through. It's wonderful, just wonderful.
Oh, I love that. I love and staying in an inn. I mean, I always choose that if we can. You know what I mean?
Yes,
It just
sure.
is that personal touch because you find the innkeepers know these stories, you
Yes.
know? And they know, like, if you want to do something, they'll have like an insider thing, you know,
Oh,
that,
yes,
you
absolutely.
know, they really do. And I just feel like Gettysburg is like this quaint town. And like you're saying about the agricultural area, I mean, it really is. There's vineyards and stuff. So you start exploring the area, there's a wine region. There's,
Oh,
I
it's
mean,
fabulous.
this was a farm area. And then the Civil War came and said, hey, we're smacking in on you. You know, and but then the community still they had to keep going no matter what to survive. And I find this fascinating that well I just not necessarily fascinating, but like I love that spirit of okay, this went down, but we're gonna survive and we're not gonna bail, but we're gonna do it, you know?
Oh yeah, I think these people,
The
the
sense of
resist the
community.
yeah, sense of community, and the just the sense of, you know, we are going to persevere, and we're you know, we're going to move on,
And the
and
Civil
they
War
have.
was a good war for, I mean, it was a war for good reasons. Good reasons with an S on the end of the reasons, as Debbie talked. I'm going to have to put I'm going to put the links to Debbie's story and interview on Lincoln and Springfield because I feel like it's so connected that we should
Very
do
much
that.
so.
Yeah, I'm
Very
going to
much
put that
so.
in the show notes for everybody. But let's talk about the food because not only are you talking about here's this, you know, plethora of, you know, a bounty basically at the backyard of Gettysburg, right? But a lot of this is happening in historic places and you went on a food tour. So again, we're back on tours, right?
So this was the Savor Gettysburg Historic Downtown Food Tour. So I liked it because, first of all, you're walking, you're eating, you're drinking, and you're getting a great dose of history from another very knowledgeable guide. And so, and insiders' tips and recommendations, and you know, all the establishments you stop at are locally, you know, owned and operated. And you know, so you're getting a real wonderful sampling of the food that is there, which, you know, there's different ethnic foods. There's, you know, people that, you know, there's a wonderful Mexican grill, the Tacos Monarca grill. Then there's an Irish pub, you know, so you're getting your shepherd's pie there. And, you know, then you're getting some new American, like, you know, real made from scratch and artisan type pizzas. And, you know, you're getting a real nice sampling. I love crepes, and the cottage creperie was heaven for me. It's you know, wonderful place. And then you learn about the owner, and you learn about, you know, why crepes, why did she start creperies, and you know, and then you go, you know, and taste the cider because there are so many apples. It's just insane how many, you know, apple orchards there are, and how many different, you know, type names and types of apples. And so there are cideries, there's wineries, as you mentioned, you know, there's ice cream, and you know, so you're getting a great sampling, and but you're getting that great dose of history, and you're walking, so that helps as well.
I love that. I love that. Now, I want to talk about the Mexican restaurant because I know you're based in Santa Fe, New Mexico. And when we started our tour, I was afraid of coming east because of avocados and Mexican food. Like, am I going to die over, like, am I going to, like, literally, like, what's going to happen? Because I know there's a lot of seafood back east, right? And you know, Nancy and I can't, you love fish and seafood, and but you know, we're not good with that allergy wise. So my thing was like, okay, she's talking about Mexican food there, and hey, listen, I know a lot of people who know how to make awesome Mexican food all over the country now, and I've learned grow up. We have wonderful Mexican families and Hispanic families all across our nation. So don't be an idiot like me wondering. And
You can
so,
find, no, you can find, I believe that, if you find good Mexican food, you're usually finding people that, have either come from the country or they're second generation, but there are recipes that have been in their family. And so it is a traditional, it's authentic fare. And this was the case at Tacos Monarca. And so I think in my mind, it really, you can plant a Mexican restaurant wherever. It depends on who's running it, who's cooking, you know what I mean? Who has it in their blood, and the same with the, for example, the Gary Owen Irish Pub. It's the only Irish owned pub there in town, but it's owned and operated by a couple who are originally from Ireland. And so, you're getting authenticity. You're getting the authentic Irish fare, and you're getting Irish whiskeys and Guinness pours and the bangers and mash and
Are you
all of that.
Listen, you don't have to convince me anymore. I'm there. I'm there. I'm there. But now, wait a minute. Wait, wait, wait. What about being in the buildings? Because aren't a lot of the buildings historic? And so, does that add to the eating
I think
ambiance?
yes, and in fact, a lot of those buildings are. I found, there's, for example, Mr. G's, which is an ice cream place, a well-known ice cream place in town. It's in this historic Twin Sycamores house, which is basically 1819. So you are, once again, you're getting your ice cream in this historic place. And out front is one of the town's witness trees. And these were trees that were alive when the Battle of Gettysburg occurred, and they're still standing today. And they are, if only they could talk, because I'm sure they saw a lot, And so, you're getting, I love that whole dose of history, but you're also connecting with the people. So I found that to be a real treat, as well. So, that was wonderful. But I think also for me, eating at some of these historic places, these historic homes, were also a real treat for me. Like the Dobbin House Tavern, which is Gettysburg's oldest and most historic house, and it is a wonderful place. And the house looks supposedly the same as it did over 200 years ago, and it's been, lovingly restored. The waitstaff wear period clothing. They take the china and flatware are an exact match with the fragments which were found there, and they do a colonial menu, and to me it was just a delightful, delightful experience. And then, another one was this wonderful mansion house, which is outside of Gettysburg, another historic property that has a real colorful history, because it was used by General Robert Lee. E. Lee ate there while they were retreating. And so, good food, wonderful good food. And I think I mentioned in my story, it's a good thing you do a lot of walking in Gettysburg, because the
I've heard the ice cream place that you're talking about is like really incredible.
so
Like
good,
that guy,
so
I
good.
mean, you just come back from Venice and you had gelato and like, so you went to Gettysburg and you think the ice cream was that good.
Ice cream
Went
was
from
very
Venice.
good.
See?
It was very creamy. I love creamy ice
Ah,
cream, you know?
real ice
So,
cream then. Not that stuff that doesn't melt. Real
it's
stuff.
like the good slow churn ice cream. So, I'm a sucker for ice cream, and I will try it most everywhere, and because I want to see what it's like in various different places, because it is different in different places, whether it's
It
even in
is.
this country or around the world, you know what I mean?
I've heard that
So
you really just can't make gelato here like you can make it in Italy. You just can't. It's
I
just.
kind of agree. I will say that Italy's gelato is just the top for me,
There's something about the ice and the salt and the temperature, and
I don't know chemically what happens, but I'll tell you, the
yeah,
Italians seem
I
to know what
listened
to
to
do.
something, listened to a podcast on it, and went like, this is like, I did not know all this, but apparently Debbie had a good time eating it. So that's okay. To me, that's so long as she had a good time, and our listeners have a good time when they get over there. But this is fascinating. I think, and this is what's so cool to me about your Gettysburg food scene article is that, and I know you've done the same thing. You've gone to historic cities, and then they have like the few touristy restaurants. And the few touristy restaurants are basically like touristy traps with really, you're going to maybe have one good restaurant, and then here's the other ones, which are like, you might as well bring McDonald's in, which I think suck,
Right.
and I mean, this is going to, it just, every place is different, right? So I'm not knocking what everybody can do, but
I think also it
you
needs to
know
be
what I mean?
qualified because it needs to be qualified because there are some restaurants that are so well known, like the Dobbin House is extremely well known, and it's a beloved it's a beloved place there, and people read about it, and everybody talks about it, and so yes, it could be it's a delight to eat there, even if you think it's like something that it's well known and it's been popularized, and but it's just it's good, it's such good food, and it's such a really unique experience. So sometimes you have to think about, you see something that's very popular with visitors or whatever, and you think to yourself, oh, is it going to be a touristy kind of thing? But I would caution and think to yourself, okay, maybe this is really something special because people really are raving about it,
Well,
and
that's a thing. That's a thing. I mean, it's like there, yeah, I mean, it's they, this is a city that has been there since time, or
right.
not a city. It doesn't feel like a city to me. It's been a town that's been there for so long, pre-Civil War, and it's continued. I mean, they have a school, they have a community, and people forget that when it's part of a park. Hot
Of
Springs,
course.
the same thing. You went to Hot Springs,
Yep.
here's a
Yep.
national
Yep.
park within a city. It's like, the town was there
Yep.
before Hot Springs became a park, and it's like it's part of it. And you're going to have great restaurants in these places. I kind of, there's the purists of like parks should have none of this, but that you, what are you going to do? Uplift a community? The fact is, it's important to have community connected to parks. And I
Yeah.
love it when that happens because you understand the greater story if
Of
you visit
course.
the community.
Of
It's
course.
like the musician I was telling you about, Leah Wainwright, interviewed her, and she grew up in Gettysburg, went to school in Gettysburg, and I mean, that history was a real deal for her. I mean, if
Sure.
you're going to have local history, holy cow, Like you're in Santa Fe. If you went to high school in Santa Fe, my God, your local history is a little like intense, and
Absolutely.
big. So I think it's important to understand the communities that are connected to these parks. And that's why I love that you've done these two stories. I wish they were together, but like that, all of our reading spans don't do that. But it's reality of it. Go to parks, but connect with the communities because the communities are connected with the parks and the history. They're shared. For
Yes.
example, Sequoia National Park. You went to Sequoia National Park.
Right.
I don't, did you get to, there's a meadow, and I always call it Paradise Meadow, and it's not Crescent Meadow. It's my favorite meadow on the planet.
Yes.
And it's beautiful, and there's always a mommy deer and babies every
Yes,
single time.
yeah.
And there's bears where we saw a mama bear with three cubs. And
Wow.
it's just magical. But Garb's log is there. And he is a rancher that used to bring his cattle up from Three Rivers down the hill. Like, if you've gone to Sequoia National Park from Three Rivers up all the way up, right? You've been there. It's a mountain pass,
Yeah.
by the way, done by Charles Young, the very first buffalo soldier. He created that, and it was I'm not the very first buffalo soldier, but the first park super African American park superintendent who was also a buffalo soldier. But he is the one who made that road happen. But Tharp would bring his cattle up to graze in that pasture, or it was a
Right.
meadow now. And he lived in a sequoia tree during that time frame. A
Wow.
fallen sequoia tree, this hollow sequoia tree he lived in. Now, if you're going to tell me that doesn't connect you back to the people, like you're talking about the lady who got shot while she's making bread during
Right.
Gettysburg, that you
Right.
can't, you have to do that. And I think that's the beauty of the story you
Yes.
brought back, you know?
Yeah, I do think that, like I said, connecting with the people that actually live there at one time, as well as connecting with people that actually live there now, you know, whether it's, you know, with guides that you meet, whether it's with innkeepers, whether it's shopkeepers and people that have lived there, you know, most of their lives or all of their lives and have grown up there. And, you know, the human element, I think, is important everywhere in the world when you travel. I think it's important to connect with the people that live there and the place. You get a really different, or a more, I think, a richer angle and a richer depth to the destination.
Did you feel that way staying at the inn when you were
Yes,
there?
it was great. I had a nice conversation with the innkeeper and innkeeper's wife, and I talked, you know, I asked them about, you know, moving there and raising three children there, and, you know, just about the community and how much they love the community. They love the small town feel of the community. They love the history. You know, they love the schools are so good. They love the bounty of agriculture and what they can find there. And so they're so happy being there and have made their home there for so many years now. But you know, that's the kind of story. That's the kind of information that is fascinating to hear. You know, it's like, what is it like to live here? You know, why did you come here? Why did you move here? And also, you know, why stay here? What keeps you here? You know.
Well, I want to give everyone a main link is destinationgettysburg.com. Again, that will also be in our show notes. So just go look no matter where you're listening from YouTube, I was saying YouTube or Gettysburg, YouTube or Spotify or, Google, wherever. Just
Right.
look in the show notes. The links will be there. And also to Debbie's two articles, which have more links so you can plan your adventure in Gettysburg. And I say adventure, it like we were talking about, it's deep, overwhelming history, but there's a lot of fun to be had too. So
Oh,
go and
absolutely.
have a good time and also reflect that, holy cow, we don't want this stuff to happen again. So let's stick with the food stuff and not have the Civil War again. And I think that's the other thing about going to these places is to acknowledge those who lost their lives and also hope like, hey, let's think about peace and unity. And it's so important.
Yeah.
I wish Lincoln was alive now. Just do. So anyway,
Yeah.
destinationgettysburg.com. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Thank you, Debbie. As always, she brings amazing stories back. She has so many cool adventures. And you can keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. Debbie is here every fourth Tuesday. Thank you, Fire Monkey.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Big Blend Radio's Global Adventures Show with travel writer Debbie Stone. Debbie is here every fourth Tuesday. You can keep up with us at bigblendradio.com.